You don't decide what good is, God does. And what God decides in truth is good to give the correct interpretation when he says do good and don't do evil. What God decides is, yes, this is evil, and we all agree that murder is evil and adultery is evil, although there are some who would say it isn't. And so the devil is constantly interpreting, trying to save us so that we don't get destroyed by God. He tries to save us so we don't get saved. That is, he seeks to destroy us. How many know that everything is turned upside down by the devil? And the gospel comes along and turns everything back right side up. So the truth is the only thing that will rescue you and set you free. So this interpretation, Martin Luther, when he was studying the scripture, he was reading it and he couldn't understand it because he read it through the Pope's eyes. That is, he read it through the devil's eyes. That is, he read it through human eyes. That is, he humanized the text. And he couldn't read this literal text because he denigrated it. Everybody said, either this text is altered by these deeper spiritual meanings, because this letter killeth and this spirit giveth life, or let's throw it away entirely. And Martin Luther came up with the absolute opposite interpretation through the Holy Spirit himself. As he was wrestling with the word and he had his own conscience and his conscience was troubled, he said, I don't think that the Pope has given us the correct interpretation. I don't think the teaching magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church has the correct reading, understanding, and interpretation. Because the Roman Catholic Church had taught, as the Jewish people had taught, as all men have always taught, that only the experts know. You, the common person, couldn't possibly know, because all you can do is read this common letter and you don't understand it. And that's true because common people read it and they don't understand it. So they admit readily that, well, I don't understand that. Pastor, could you give us the interpretation? Priest, could you give us the interpretation? Jesus Christ was the only one that gave the correct interpretation, and he fought against the traditions of men. He said, you, for the sake of your traditions, will deny the Word of God in its literal sense. You break and destroy. Now remember, the Lord said this, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. You're looking in the Old Testament Scriptures, and you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they which bear witness of me. John 5:49. If all the scriptures in the Old Testament say Jesus, none of the Jewish people found it. If Jesus said, as the true interpreter, I know you don't read it in the letter, yet it's there. Every scripture bears witness to me. If you don't pull that out of the text, if you don't make the text say Jesus loves you, this I know, then you didn't read the text. And they said, that's crazy. That's foolish. That's Moses tells us how to read that text. He said, Moses said, listen to me. He said, another prophet God will raise up. I'm the prophet. Moses wrote of me. If you had believed Moses, you would believe me. You do not believe Moses. In other words, when the Jewish people read the text, they don't read Moses. It's not that they don't read Jesus. They don't read Moses. If you had read Moses, you would find Jesus. Because Moses would have condemned you. And then you'd need a savior. Then you would find Jesus in the text. You would find that Jesus was in the text. Not only that, the Holy Spirit himself has to help with this literal sense in the letter. This is the Father speaking through the letter that killeth. What's he kill? The flesh. Both in its licentious and legalistic forms. So now the devil's lies are exposed. He uncovers, strips the devil through this interpretation. So now the Father is able to speak through his holiness to destroy all flesh. The Son, however, finds those that are destroyed and repentant and broken and gives them the gospel who are dead are resurrected through the hope of Jesus Christ. That even though you can't save yourself, even though your works aren't good enough, even though you are licentious and legalistic, even though you're a hypocrite, even though you're nasty, even though you're foul, even though God would cut you off, yet he has provided a way through the blood of the Lamb that you could rely upon another. And that good news, that gospel, is in every text of the Old and New Testament. So, the Father hates sin in the New Testament as much as he does in the Old Testament. The Father hates the flesh in the New Testament as much as in the Old Testament. The gospel of Jesus Christ and his love and his mercy through the historical man Jesus, who was the Son of God who came on the earth through Mary under the law, that is in the Old Testament as much as in the New Testament. And the New Testament spends a great deal of time saying, it is written, as it is written, so it's written, and gives the interpretation that it's all about Jesus. Mary's beloved son That was the same as what Isaiah spoke of in the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. That she shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the same as the text in the 9th chapter, 6th verse, which says, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, those interpretations were all used to say, Jesus is the end of the law. Everything that the Old Testament's about is in Jesus. Now, this interpretation then, Martin Luther was wrestling with this fourfold sense, and he knew that these three had come from the enemy. But he couldn't get rid of them because he didn't know what else to do. But the Holy Spirit himself showed him how to read the Bible in such a way as to get rid of the dialectic. And this is more important than justification by faith. Luther's understanding that the scriptures are perspicacious, clear, not obscure. It isn't we who are clear and the scriptures who are dark. It's we that are dark and the scriptures are clear. Thy word is truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So he began to wrestle with God through the text, not leaving the text itself, not denigrating the text, not contradicting the text, but listening carefully to every word till he heard the Father, heard the Son, and heard the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit's whole job in bringing the interpretation is to show you Jesus in every text. But not only that, also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it's unless you are not only saved by the blood, but filled with the Spirit, you have no ability then to come into the true application because you couldn't apply even what you understood. In other words, this is enough to condemn me, this is enough to save me, but this is what I need in order to live actually a holy life. It isn't just by imputed righteousness, it's also by actual righteousness. Martin Luther was able to bring out of every text that threefold understanding within the literal sense, throwing off these three that the devil in his triad had produced. Now, that's why every philosopher of the modern world, every, excluding none, every poet, every artist, every musician, all of civilization that we know about in our own modern world is satanic. Because it's dialectic. Because it cannot bear truth. What we regard as nothing, God regards as everything. We despise the things of God because they're obvious and they're common and they're plain. But God fills His word, His literal word, He fills it with meaning and life and truth. Because it says this, the letter killeth the flesh, but giveth life. The Spirit giveth life, brings resurrection after death. You see, the devil hates that because the devil says, don't die. Let me save you so you don't die. But you must be killed. First death, then resurrection. While you're yet alive, you must die. You must die to your brains. You must die to your rational sense, your moral sense, your mystical sense. You must die to all of that which opposes God. You must die to the flesh. The flesh must be crucified. So this correct interpretation of the text itself, has salvation in it. Every text that God has written. No human text, only the text of God. And the interpretation is given by the Lord Jesus Christ in His own blood, in His own power. And the Holy Spirit, who wrote the text in the first place, that is, He inspired holy authors to do so by God, the Father, puts in the holiness, puts in the mercy, puts in the power. In other words, He makes the Father speak of holiness, the Son speak of mercy, and He, the Holy Spirit, speaks of the power of the indwelling Lord, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Every single text, that's why I'm a good pastor. I am a good pastor because I know how to read the Bible and hear the Bible and get the authority of the Word of God that destroys the works of the enemy and sets the captive free. Because, not because I'm special or smart or anything else, it's just simply because I found that truth myself in this Word. I didn't find it in my brains. I didn't find it in my schooling. I didn't find it. I have 3 earned degrees. I have lots of knowledge and lots of capacity. As a matter of fact, not only do I have 3 earned degrees, I always took a double major, so I actually have 6 or 7. Because I was always doing 10 courses when you took 5. I was continually studying, learning, knowing everything I could possibly know. All in vain, all going to hell, all to demolish my life until I met Jesus. And Jesus then gave the correct interpretation to everything and called it sin. That was the correct interpretation of my whole life. Everything about me was vanity. Everything about me was empty. Everything about me was wicked. Everything about me was shallow. Everything about me was dead. And when God spoke to me, I remember the day and the hour when he spoke to me, I came alive. And all of my learning, all of my knowledge, all of my wisdom, all of my strength, all of my ability, all my capacity, not just my sinfulness, I knew all about this, but all of my cleverness as well, all of my good, eating of the tree of the knowledge of evil and good, it all went down the drain. And it all was exposed in a moment. In a moment of time, I saw it. That's it. Everything about me is dead. And I need help. I need hope. I need something more. I despaired then of not just my wickedness, but I despaired of my goodness, my cleverness, all of my gifts. And has that happened to you? Have you seen that everything about you is wrong? Even your kindness, even your niceness, even your sincerity, even your love for your children, your love for your husband, all that. Have you seen that everything about you is evil if it isn't wrought in God? If it doesn't come from the truth of God. I don't know if you've understood that or not, because God will not release you until you're dead. And he wants you to do that on a daily, continuous, constant basis until you begin to say, yes, Lord, that's true, Lord. I confess that. Even after you're a Christian, you don't just use Christianity to avoid the holiness of God. Christianity continues to need the holiness of God to kill the flesh. Because even after your spirit is perfect and imputedly to be righteous, you still have to have your mind renewed every day. You still have to have your life changed every day. There's still impurity all over our lives as Christians. Amen? Even when we intend to do the greatest thing, it stinks. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. He will not accept it. Because the letter killeth all flesh, even good flesh. It hates it as the utter hypocrisy. The Jewish people were one of the finest people on the face of the earth. Jesus said, you are wicked to the hilt. These are the Jewish people. These were God's own people. These were the holy people. He said, you're not of your father, the devil. You're not of the father of Abraham. You're of your father, the devil. How can you say that? We're not barbarians, Greeks and Romans. We're not pagans and, you know, people out of the forest and the hills. We are the holy people of God for thousands of years. We know what we're doing. And Jesus said, no, you are the most evil of all. Even though you're no more evil than anyone else, because you think you're not. Therefore, you say you see, therefore you're blind. You are the ones that ought to be the light of the world, but instead you are the darkness. So, the interpretation of Scripture comes from our dark minds, it'll go nowhere. Because then the light of the Scripture can't penetrate the darkness in my own mind, in my own soul. So, naturally then, if a pastor reads the Scripture to you, and he interprets it through darkness, you're not going to get any light. And that's why Jesus said to the Jewish people, you are blinded. Remember in Isaiah it was said, tell them this, that they will see and not see, they will hear and not hear, and their heart will be fat. In other words, there'll be a blindness, a curse upon Israel, upon the nation Israel and their interpretation. When they read the Scripture, a veil is over their eyes. It's not over the Scripture, it's over their eyes. It's over their own heart. It's in their own understanding. It's in man himself. The veil, the darkness, is the dialect. The dialectic, then, is everything. Satan has no other tool but the dialectic. He cannot capture us except through deceit. He cannot capture us except through darkness and hiddenness. So all of his works are hidden darkness. Now, I hope you understood that and enjoyed that, because this was Martin Luther's great understanding, not sola scriptura, not sola fide, not sola Christi, not anything else but this, that Scripture itself, unless it becomes light, unless it becomes interpreted by the Holy Spirit, so that we see Jesus and hear the Father, hear the Son, hear the Holy Spirit able to open the Word so that we hear all of that, you will never come to life. First the Father in His holiness to condemn, then the Son in His mercy to rise up and lift up, and then the Holy Spirit to execute and finish and complete the work of God. Unless every Scripture comes alive, then there is no hope. When a preacher lives that and preaches that, then it comes alive in the people. But one of the slowdowns is the devil still has a hold on people, which means they don't want to hear it. Don't say the truth. Say it without authority. Don't speak it like it is the Word of God. But fortunately, it is the Word of God, flesh. And so, therefore, you better get used to it. God's going to have his way.